to help the people in Bangladesh. So he did like this, you understand? He gave $5,000-$10,000, but was nothing, like, you understand somebody? Yeah, it was like a penis, like they call it, yeah, some, like a penis to him. Okay? And somebody else, that he had $100. The people came talking for Bangladesh, and he gave $5. But this $5, you understand, to him, a big thing. The man who have millions of dollars, and that he gave $10,000, he didn't even feel, you understand, that he gave anything. It doesn't even show any mark in his account. Exactly, like he said, peanuts. Okay? With nothing. For the person who gave $5 out of the $100, he bought a hole in his account. You see? But he gave it when he himself is in need, and this all what he had. So it's still also the condition of the person who's given. Okay? The condition of the person who's given. So it's not because you're poor that you could not give. You still can give. And always start with your family. The hadith is authentic. Hadith 513 وعنه, that means also reported by Abu Huraira. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تصدقوا فقال رجل يا رسول الله عندي دينار قال تصدق به على نفسك قال عندي آخر قال تصدق به على ولدك قال عندي آخر قال تصدق به على زوجتك قال عندي آخر قال تصدق به على خادمك قال عندي آخر قال أنت أبصر به. The hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, An-Nisa'i and Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim. The hadith is hasan, is good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the Muslims, the Sahaba, to give charity. And a man among them, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I have a dinar. He said, so give charity to yourself. Spend it in yourself. Even spending in yourself, okay? Go have a haircut, go buy you a shirt, buy socks, buy you, understand, Subway sandwich, take care of yourself, buy a toothbrush. Spend it in yourself, it will be a sadaqah for you. You see, can you imagine? You will spend it in your own self and you will get a sadaqah. Subhanallah. I don't see where else you can find any deen and any religion like this. It's so beautiful. You will be spending it in yourself. I wish I read this hadith today. Otherwise, I'll be taking care of myself today. Out of alhamdulillah. What? MashaAllah. Still a couple of hours left in the day or in the night. I can go give myself a charity. So the man said, O Prophet of Allah, I have a dinar. He said, go and spend it in yourself. He said, I have another one. He said, spend it in your child. He said, and I have another one, or one more. He said, spend it in your wife. And in the beginning of the hadith, Rasulullah was talking about give it charity. That means giving it to yourself, giving it to your son, giving it to your wife. Still, it count a blessings for you and a charity for you. He said, I have one more. Say, spend it on your slave or your servant. Okay? He said, I have one more. He said, you use it in whatever way you want. You want to give it to your neighbor, you want to give it to your friend, you want to give it to Bosnia, you want to give it to Bangladesh, whatever you want to do with it now, this is true. That means you took care of yourself, your child, your wife, even your servant, okay? So now, you take care of it, see what you want to do with it now, okay? Now you can go out of the family now. And the hadith is good. Hasan. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أنفقت المرأة من طعام بيتها غير مفسدة كان لها أجرها بما أنفقت ولزوجها أجره بما اكتسب وللخازن مثل ذلك لا ينقص بعضهم من أجر بعض شيئا. عائشة may Allah be pleased with her reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when a woman spends from the food in her house without intention of destruction or spoiling the welfare of the house, will be counted as a charity for her as a result of what she spent, and will be also counted as a charity and reward for her husband, because he's the one who earned it and the one who in charge of keeping this also will get a reward without anybody diminish from the reward of others. There is one most important point here that we have to focus in it. Okay, first, the hadith is authentic, is in the collection of Bukhari and Muslim, that shows the permissibility that a woman can give away from her house, from the food that been bought by her husband without asking his permission, for what commonly known that he's not going to bother, okay. We ate dinner and left over, you understand, and she gave it, okay. And he did hear a point, say غير مفسدة, without being wasteful, okay. So you don't go and say, I'm going to visit my friend today and let me take the what you call the washer dryer set that my husband bought yesterday, a gift for my sister. Alright? You're breaking the economic of the house. You're spoiling the house now, you see? You can take things without his permission that you know that he's not even going to care for it. Now he bought a new rug, and this rug, okay, that you already been thrown it from the living room to the kitchen, and after this he drag it out in the front porch, and after this he put it in the back porch, and he's not even know if he's still in the house or no. But there is some kind of rug, you understand, the older it gets, the more expensive, became, you understand, antique. And now, you say, oh, we got a new oriental rug. Now, you take this old one. The old one costs $3,000. What you call it old? You see? So the Prophet ﷺ said, غَيْرَ مُفْسِدَ. Something he's not going to care for, is not big thing to him, okay, without spoiling the economic of the house. Okay? And sometimes some people, they cook for the whole week. Okay? Because the in or out, the husband work and the wife work, so they cook one meal enough and they put it in the freezer. So, oh, we ate dinner last night, this is left over, and take the whole pot and give it away. You don't do this. You see? She have to use her mind. So she has the right to spend the from and give a charity from her husband food or whatever in the house without spoiling or without knowing, from knowing the husband, because the wife should get to know the husband and what is going to irritate him and what's not going to irritate him. So without spoiling the economic of the house, now she will get a reward for what? Because she spent. And the husband will get a reward, why? Because he's the one who earns the dollar to buy this food. And also the khazin, the person who keeps this food, you understand, in a locker or whatever it is, or in a charge, or also get rewarded. Almost like everybody get a reward. Okay, so, and Rasulullah ﷺ make it clear that this is not going to be causing of taking away from the reward of each other. So it's not because the wife got some reward, now the husband is not getting, or she will get in three quarter and he will get one quarter of a blessing. No. She will get a reward, he will get a reward, and without anybody losing any reward. Alhamdulillah. Hadith in collection in Bukhari and Muslim is authentic. Hadith 515 عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاءت زينب امرأة ابن مسعود فقالت يا رسول الله إنك أمرت اليوم بالصدقة وكان عندي حلي لي فأردت أن أتصدق به. فزعم ابن مسعود أنه وولده أحق من من تصدقت به عليهم. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق ابن مسعود، زوجك وولدك أحق من تصدقت به عليهم. رواه البخاري. This hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. The hadith is authentic, that the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, which is Zainab, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, today you had encouraged us to give sadaqah, and I have some jewelry, some gold, and I want to give it in charity. But my husband claimed that he is the most one worthy of receiving this, as well as his son. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, indeed what your husband said is true. If your husband in need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you a rich woman, that you have some money and he need it, he, by you giving it to him, he deserves it more than anybody. You'll be getting more reward than by giving it out. Okay? And say, and his son, which is possibility that his son from another woman, another wife, or that his son got from her also. But why? Because he is, she is not obligated to support them. So, and they are in need, and by giving it to them, it will be a charity for her and will be a sadaqah and the blessings for her. Hadith 516, page 221. That means 221, depend what language you speak or you understand. Hadith 516, that means 516. This is some way to wake up some people. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال الرجل يسأل الناس حتى يوم حتى يأتي يوم القيامة وليس في وجهه مزعة لحم. متفق عليه. حديث reported by ابن عمر in the collection of الإمام البخاري and Muslim رحمة الله عليهما. The hadith is authentic, that a person keep begging and asking people for charity, for money, until he come in the day of judgment and no flesh on his face. Okay? That mean is a mark or a sign of embarrassment, because he had allowed himself to be always going and asking and begging. Okay? And you're supposed to be shy, so you took it as a habit. That mean you don't have any, that you don't care for your face to be facing the people. Oh, brother, would you give me the answer? Sister, would you give me? Oh, man, the, okay? So you're supposed to save the, we call it in, to save the embarrassment or the, of your face. Because the face is the, always what is facing the people. So as a result of this, he will come in the day of judgment and is no flesh on his face. Is physically and mentally, okay? Yes. No, because your parents are obligated to take care of you. Okay? Going out and taking this as a habit, regardless you need or you don't need, became a habit asking the people. Okay? And we should be always try to, as I said before, not to ask people. And that we have a dignity and self-content, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for us. This number 517 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سأل الناس أموالهم تكسرا فإنما يسأل جمرا فليستقل أو ليستكثر. حديث reported by أبو هريرة in the collection of الإمام مسلم. The hadith is authentic. A person who begging people their money, asking their money, only to increase his wealth, not because he's in need, but became a habit and he want to be rich by asking people, keep asking and go from a masjid to a masjid and from imam to imam, from organization to organization, okay? And keep going like this. By the time he finished 10, 15 states, he have to understand enough income to live the whole year. Okay? So the person who do this, indeed he is collecting fire. He's collecting jamr. So let him increase, continue asking, or ask little bit. That means a like a warning. That means you need to stop this, otherwise see how much you collecting this as much fire that you be holding in your hand. So if you have the ability to hold fire, now you should go ahead and collect and asking people to increase your wealth. So if you know that holding fire, what you call coal or charcoal, how hot it is and burning to your hand, the same way that you could not be holding the charcoals in your hands, so stop taking the people money without a genuine needs, or otherwise you be similarity to the person who collecting fire in his hand. The more fire you got, the more burning that going to burn your hands. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 518, وعن الزبير بن عوام ابن العوام رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لأن يأخذ أحدكم حبله فيأتي بحزمة الحطب على ظهره فيبيعها فيكف بها وجهه خير له من أن يسأل الناس أعطوه أو منعوه. Hadith in al-Bukhari, the hadith is authentic. Reported by Zubair ibn al-Awwam, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that it's better for you, it's better for you to take a rope, go collect woods, because you know he is the rope, because after you collect the woods, you need something to tie the pile together, okay? For you to take a rope and go cut woods and make a pile of wood and go sell it for firewood, this is much better for you than going begging people. So it doesn't matter, you're washing cars, you're sweeping floor, whatever it is, name it, is still what you call it as a job. Even some people look upon it to be like it's nothing, it's still better than you begging people. That means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling you, go ahead and work, do something and earn a dollar, better than begging for a dollar. Okay? So Islam doesn't look in any kind of occupation to be small or bad, but it says that this will be a better for you, that you go begging people and somebody give you and somebody turn you down. Okay? Save the embarrassment. Have the honor being a Muslim. Have dignity of Muslim, and don't go ask people, go and do some kind of small work, would be much better for you. So hadith is authentic. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 519, عن سمرة ابن جندب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسألة كد يكد بها الرجل وجهه إلا أن يسأل الرجل سلطانا أو في أمر لا بد منه. That begging the people is like scratches, okay, in the face, marks, okay, and you don't want have scratches and what you call marks in your face, scars, okay. So the minimum scars that you have your face in your face, the better that it looks, okay? So don't have scars in your face by begging. Because every time you beg, this like understand embarrassment for you, like you adding a scar to your face. Okay? Except in two conditions, that you go to the head of the state or the person in charge of a mosque or organization. Don't go from one to one, from door to door. Go to the people who are in charge or that something that is necessity. Something is necessity and you have to. Okay? Now, if you really have to and you have no choice, now you have no choice. Okay? So we have to understand that begging is very, very bad in Islam, and that we never do it except really we have something called necessity, that I'm going to have it or I'm going to be dead. I'm going to have it or I'll be on the sidewalk. Okay? Or I'm going to have it or I'm going to be departed out of the... whatever it is, that is called necessity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and the hadith is authentic. And inshallah, since we still have little bit in the tape, we have a small chapter that we can finish today. So after this, inshallah, because we planning to stop by Ramadan, and we would like to discuss fasting before Ramadan, which will take at least one class, and after this optional fasting will be another class. Okay? And i'tikaf during Ramadan, and this another class. So we have 3 to 4 classes maximum, and will be the time almost for approaching Ramadan, and we will stop for at least 6 weeks. So if you be patient with me, inshallah, we have a small chapter called Bab Qismi Sadaqat, division, distribution of the charity. How to divide the sadaqat, if it's sadaqat, charity, zakah, obligatory, or whatever it is.